Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, everybody. Welcome back to Renee's Heart to Heart. This is Renee, and I am really glad you made it this morning. Today is Wednesday, and as a rule, we talk about health. We talk about natural health. We talk about sometimes mental health. We've kind of touched on a lot of different subjects. And I kind of put that in Shell's playing field today. I know she's going to want to talk about a few things in regard to natural health because Shelly's writing a book. And it's all about her journey from years and years of diagnosed ailments and issues that hindered probably a good 10 to 15 years of her life. But before she gets on to talk about some of the things that she wants to talk about today, I want to mention to all of you, you know, most of you, that we've been on a couple different journeys here in my house. Obviously, one of them is the mending of my grandson, who was set on fire in 2009. And that's been a journey in itself, and it's taught us a lot. It's taught us a lot about the care of our bodies. Michael has lots of scars, and one of the things that was the most beneficial during his healing, over and above stretching exercises and things like that that the physical therapist did for him, was magnesium oil. And he got, in the beginning, he got like 3 massages a week with our sweet friend Kelly, who did magnesium massages on him, and they proved to be incredibly beneficial. Now, since then, Michael has been doing very well. He still has, as I mentioned, he's still got some pretty bad scars, but most of his skin feels smooth and seems to be stretching with his growth. He's a much bigger boy than he was now than he was almost 5 years ago. So Shell is here. I just brought her in. Good morning, Shell.
Good morning, Rainey.
You couldn't use your house phone again today, huh?
I'm trying to get in on it right now.
Ah, here it came up. It came up. It's on. You want to hang up your cell phone and I'll bring you in on this one? Shelly?
All right, can you still hear me?
I can. I can hear you on your house phone now. Perfect.
Okay. Yeah, I called in 4 times and I didn't hear anything. There's got to be something wrong with the connectivity. I mean, and this is through Comcast Xfinity, so I don't understand why the service doesn't make a connection with Blog Talk. So
I
thought
don't
it
either.
Was. It's electronics, just like I'm telling you, people that are in like the techie field and computers and that kind of stuff and IT departments, I have such respect for them because I don't understand a lick of what they do.
Yeah, well, and I'm 10 times worse than you, so that takes me out of the lick department and more into the beating department.
Yeah, right.
But
I've been trying for about 2 minutes to get in.
Really? Yeah. It is some days just difficult to get into the show for me, but since my computer was cleaned up, it's been a lot easier. And Blog Talk has been working on it too. I've had many conversations with them, and they're trying to. I mean, I think they got big. I think
right.
A lot of people now are doing private radio shows for different reasons, and I think that might have something to do with it. And of course, even though we understand that this kind of technology spreads all the way across the world, Blog Talk is based out of California. So there is a time issue. There's lots of different things that can happen. But ever since they straightened me out the last time and the computer got fixed, I get in every morning without any problems whatsoever.
Wonderful, wonderful. I didn't hear what you started the show with, though.
Well, I told No, I was telling everybody that I had kind of put it in your lap to come up with some things to talk about on the Friendly Witch Doctor show today, but that I wanted to mention a couple things before we get started with that. And one of them was Mike, the journey that we've been on with him. And one of the things last night I was thinking, what are the best things that we have realized in regard to the trauma that has happened with Mike with the burns, Big Spike with the cancer, and now Michael, my son Michael, Mikey's dad, with what's going on with his trachea. So I mentioned magnesium oil. It was a big part of little Mike's healing, a big part. Three times a week, Kelly would give him a massage with magnesium oil. And I believe that the magnesium oil replaced some of the elasticity in the scar tissue. Because he can stretch. There's places under his arms and things like that where you can see the tautness because of the burn and the scar tissue. Or there's places where cadaver skin was placed between the real skin and the cadaver skin and then skin grafts. And there's a difference because you can't line up the cells in the skin so that they're on the same pattern. So when you try to stretch, one side has the elasticity that it needs under your arm for raising your arms, and maybe the skin that you took off of his legs that you put beside that skin to cover a patch that's gone doesn't want to stretch the same way. Does that make sense to you?
Yeah, sort of. You would think that the skin would integrate over time, but it does. You're right. These patches of skin grafts don't necessarily ever develop the same elasticity. They get some elasticity to them, but not like normal original skin would.
Well, and I think it has something to do with where it's taken from. You need tremendous flexibility in your kneecaps, in your elbows, under your arms, the pit of your arm. Have you ever noticed how the skin under your arm has really large pores? And seems to be, and as you get older, it's very flexible, by the way, when you get older. And and so I see that difference. And if I look at him with just shorts on, I can see the difference in the pattern of his skin. So anyway, the magnesium oil has been amazing, really, really amazing. And one of the other things that he continues to take all the time is the cell food. And I have a great amount of belief in the cell food. Now, just recently, we were given some products by the gentleman that spoke on the show, the John Bolus, and it is a skin treatment. One is a foam, and one is an oil. And I have used the oil on my what I call sunspots, what somebody else might refer to as some kind of a malignancy on my chest. I don't put that into them, and if I could leave them alone and never touch them, they go away. But I worry them all the time. And he gave me these oils, and they're helping because what they do is they keep them very smooth. So when I touch that part of my chest, they don't feel like it's something that I have to pick at and try to take off my skin. So that oil is helping that.
You know what kind of an oil that is?
Yes, it's. I'm going to have John come on and talk about it because I told him I wanted to play with them a little bit and test them. You can drink them. You can use them topically. They're really, really a good product. And, of course, he's a big advocate of them, and he knows that he's helped him.
Is it mainly skin, or does it deal, because you said you can drink it, is it for other issues, or is it mainly for skin health?
Yes, it's for everything. It's for everything. And the foam is great for, like, the kids' acne and stuff like that. It helps clean up their faces, too. It just treats the abrasions.
I'd definitely like to know more about that. Because I have issues with forearms right now where I'm getting I guess they would be considered like sunspots where I'm getting like dark areas, and you know, and I'm it's just because that's the area of my arms that's always in the sun. You know, I'm not sure what caused the discoloration. My sister's got a little of it now too. But it's, you know, I would like to do something to keep that from going further. You know, some people might be concerned and say it's skin cancer or something like that. I don't go there. I eat a lot of sea vegetables and things like that, so I'm pretty well protected. And but I would like to have a smoother tone to my skin, and this might be something that would be able to help with that.
This definitely, I think, would be advantageous because it will even help things like liver spots on the elderly and things like that. And mm-hmm. if you see John's face looks like that of a 20-year-old. He doesn't have wrinkle one.
Wow.
Wrinkle one, yeah. So
definitely want to know about this.
I told him when he was here a couple weeks ago that I'd like him to be on the show again and just talk about this product because I think it has some values, especially to us Floridians, Californians, the people that are in the sun without any intent to be in the sun here in Florida, especially the last month and a half. You have no choice if you go out in the daytime. It is hot and sunny. So, yes, so we're going to talk about that. Now, the other thing that I wanted to talk about is one of the most valuable things that I found in helping my husband who had cancer in his larynx, and it manifested a tumor in the side of his neck. And he had Western medicine. It was his choice. But he's also been utilizing a lot of the things that I am familiar with. But one of the most helpful and that we're still, you know, doing daily is frozen aloe. Now, for those of you who know about the aloe plant, it's called the burn plant, and there are lots of aloes out there. And if it's pure aloe without any additives, I'm not trying to sell anybody any aloe. I'm just telling you that if you have an aloe plant in your yard, it's medicinal for any kind of skin inflammation on a pet, on you, on anybody. And you just slice it down the side and take the aloe out. It's a very thick consistency. But the aloe that Spike has been using is one that was designed by an elderly gentleman that Shelley and I both met several years ago. And he grows it, a special aloe. He has a greenhouses where he grows it. And he harvests it and freezes it, and it is amazing. Now, the worth for my husband was swallowing it after radiation and, of course, the pain from the cancer itself that was in his larynx. He lost his voice almost completely. And,
I think it's right?
It's what?
I think it's called the larynx, not larynx. I think larynx, the inside of the throat.
The voice box.
Right, that's the larynx.
No,
larynx.
I pronounce it.
You're pronouncing it like three syllables.
It's L-A-R-Y-N-X.
Right, larynx.
Okay. Well, anyway, that's where it was. And of course, that's where my son Michael had his first issues when he was 13. His vocal cords themselves got granulation on them from scar tissue. So now he is using aloe as well on the journey he's on. So some of these things are, if you believe in Western medicine, you know, that is certainly everybody's prerogative, but you understand that Western medicine is killing certain things. And in doing that, there's no GPS on radiation or chemo. Even though they are getting better at it, being able to pinpoint where it's going to go, it still harms a lot of the other parts of your body. So anything you can do that reinforces some of the good things, like the aloe, to coat and protect the voice box, the vocal cords, the throat itself. It has helped Spike immensely.
And
now,
I think it's important to mention that the aloe you're talking about is Stockton aloe. We're not trying to do a commercial. We're not making any money from saying that. You know, we don't get any kickbacks. But the Stockton aloe, which is the aloe that you're talking about, is something that was developed over many years. Mr. Stockton actually traveled the world collecting aloe plants from all over the world and actually doing genetic testing on them, looking at the genome of different types of aloe plants and testing the properties of how different aloe plants, how potent they were and how integrally they affected the health of the body. And he actually developed this plant that is now called Stockton aloe. It's been patented. This is a formula and a plant now that's unique to his growing operation. It's something he developed by traveling the world. So his aloe products are not just another aloe product. They are a very specialized aloe product that he specifically developed over many years of research. So, and it is a different genome of the plant, and it does have a higher potency and integrity of how it impacts the body for healing. So, like I said, we're not trying to do a commercial. We don't get anything for this, but it is important for people to understand we're not talking about general aloe. We're talking about this specific aloe.
Well, but I mentioned in the beginning when I first started talking about aloe, any aloe that you use is beneficial, even if you pick it out of your own garden, because it's an amazing medicinal plant and has been used for years and years and years and years. Indians used it years ago. They even put it in food for babies who had things like
right.
It also helps with your stomach. I've given it to guests at the Institute who had things like colon cancer or anal cancer, because it goes through your whole system and it treats every place it touches. It's also very medicinal for things like diverticulitis and diverticulosis. So, and now, like I said, Michael is using it as well. Now, with Mike, I want to talk a little bit about that, because I find all of this, although heartbreaking, that these are my family members, I still find it... I want to use the word interesting. That almost sounds sick for me to say that, but it is interesting what can be done today as to 30-some years ago. In 1983, when my son got hit by the car and we realized that he had damaged his larynx and his throat and everything closed up and he had to have emergency surgery and all those things happened to him back in those days, we were limited on what we could do. Now, I looked at a CAT scan yesterday, and the trauma that was caused to Michael's trachea through all of this, not just, one thing leads to another, and of course your insides are meant to be kept safe, secure, and in the right environment. I know that sounds funny when you say it, but if it's on the inside of your body, there's a reason. It's sensitive. It needs the protection of the body fluids and everything that are on the inside of your body. So because Mike's trachea has been messed with so much, it has severe stenosis. Now, when I hear the word stenosis, I think that means stiffening up, you know, getting hard. It also means getting brittle. But what has happened to Michael's because of all the trauma is it's stenosed, but it's probably about 2 inches below the actual original injury and beneath his chest cavity, his chest bone. So when we looked at the scan yesterday, and of course the scans that you can see on a CT almost work like thermography. If you've ever seen a thermography scan or anything like that, you can dial it in to enhance the photo, pull it in, pull it out. And when he had it all tuned in, if you'll forgive my probably inaccuracy with what they're really doing, but you could see where it almost touches in spaces when he gets lower down his trachea. And that's what's causing the biggest problem. And then we have two doctors involved. One of them is an airway otolaryngologist, and he is of the mindset that we need a stent, very much like what they did all those years ago. They put a Montgomery T-tube in Mike's throat.
Rainey?
Yes?
Rainey, just to clarify, stenosis has nothing to do with embrittlement. I suppose that can be a side effect of it, but what stenosis is a narrowing of a passageway in the body. So you can have a stenosis of muscle tissue. You can have stenosis of like a spinal cord. You can have stenosis. You can have stenosis in any type of a body, of a passageway in the body, whether it's a passageway for nerves, a passageway that carries fluids or whatever. But what stenosis is a narrowing. And when you get narrowing, you get constriction. And I guess on the outside of whatever that passageway is, it can become brittle because everything is getting smaller. But what it is that whatever passageway you're talking about in the body, like in his case his larynx, becomes smaller in diameter than it's supposed to be.
That's all true, but that's what I said. It narrows, but it gets hard. It gets brittle. What happened when they tried to stretch it 3 weeks ago is it cracked. It's no longer the pliable tissue that it starts out to be. So now, because of the stenosis, and yes, according to the doctor, it turns brittle when the stenosis and the invasion of that part of our body, it like gets hardened and it cracked, Shelley. When they tried to open it with little balloons, it cracked way down in his chest. So when he breathed, it released air into his chest cavity.
Wow.
So now, and when I said to the doctor, we're looking at the scan, in my simplicity of not really understanding it, I said, why can't we make an incision and just clean that out? You know, take care of the narrowing with a laser, because that's how they fixed the vocal cords way back when. And he said, I wish I could do that. He said, I tried that up in the top part and did that the first time we opened him up to fix his cervical spine, which was a year ago next month. And he said, but it didn't stay because it just reproduces itself. He said, but there, the stenosis is so great, there's even part of his ribs now. Part of his rib bones are attached to the trachea. If I go in there and start cleaning away with a laser, I could be inside his chest cavity and not even know it.
Oh, my God.
Yes. So it's
now,
it's
this all happened over the years, or this was a result of the initial accident? This is something that developed in the recovery process?
It's just happened over the years because his trachea was so traumatized. And
wow.
As older, and, you know, this is just what happens. So now the deal is they're both doctors are of a different mindset, which is good because it gives us, an opportunity, like you and I talk about all the time on the show, being able to have a difference of opinion is sometimes very healthy and very helpful. So now they're meeting. We have another CAT scan coming up. And now what they're going to do is, after they see the new CAT scan and see if anything has changed since a month ago, then they will go in and they will do one of two things. First of all, they have to crack open his chest. And
oh,
they will
wow.
at the trachea. And if it is in a place where they can remove the part that is so in such bad shape, then they will stretch the lower part and bring it up to where the larynx is and be able to repair it that way. Dr. Sargi, who is the the one that we went to begin with, because he's the airway specialist at Sylvester Cancer Clinic in Miami. He believes that that won't work. The other doctor, who is one of his partners, who has a different title and his forte is a little bit different. He's more surgical with heavy-duty surgery, and he feels that he can make that work. So after they see the CAT scan, they're going to discuss it again. Dr. Sarchi wants to put in a trach tube, a Montgomery T-tube it's called, and it will go up and down and have an opening that's right at the top of the, actually where Mike's scar is from the original tracheotomy. So when he gets the scan done on Friday, we'll probably know more on Monday. But what amazes me is the fact that you have these kind of options today that weren't available 30 years ago. It just makes me feel like they never stand still. These,
wow.
The Western medicine, as much as you and I don't trust it for a lot of different reasons, it's incredibly not just innovative, but every day. I mean,
well,
you
there
can
are
go
certain,
in.
Right. There are certain areas. Yeah, there are certain areas of Western medicine that I have tremendous respect for. Any type of reconstructive or emergency medicine is different than the family physician medicine. My criticism of the medical profession is that the general practitioner office who has people coming to him is mainly taught to be a prescription administrator, somebody who listens to symptoms and then prescribes some sort of a pharmaceutical remedy to now bring that symptom into control somehow. That's what I'm critical of, because that can be hazardous, that can create all kinds of side effects, and it can create additional health concerns the person didn't happen to begin with. But when you're talking about what your son's going through with the reconstructive surgery, this is a different area of medicine. And like you said, the innovation, what they can do, I mean, somebody can lose their arm in a terrible accident, and if somebody collects the arm and puts it on ice and takes it to the hospital, the person can have their entire arm reattached. That is fascinating to me. That is a miracle to me that we have that capability. You know, so there's areas of Western medicine that I have tremendous respect for, and it's those areas in reconstruction and emergency care, because those doctors have a different mindset. And they're more open, believe it or not. Those particular doctors are generally more open to merging and marrying with alternatives, using things like aloe on the skin, and they're looking for other ways to enhance what they do medically, where a lot of these physicians, you know, like the family doctor that you go and you sit in a waiting room for 3 hours to see, and all they know how to do is give out prescriptions or do tests, and a lot of times they're more limited. They're not willing to look into nutritional factors and things like that because it's not their training. So I'm not criticizing them, but what I'm saying is they're not trained to consider other factors, where a lot of emergency doctors and reconstructive doctors have this. I don't know how they acquire it, but so many of them seem to embrace more of marrying with the alternatives. And so I think that's where generally medicine is heading, but it seems only certain areas of Western medicine are really enlightened to that at this point.
Well, and I agree with that, and I do think that maybe it's because when you're in an emergency situation, you have to be incredibly innovative. And it's not, oh, you have a cold, here's your antibiotic, or, oh, you have an infection. Well, infections, that's another story, too. And we've done a show on MRSA and MERS, and all these kind of things that are going on out there today, and there's still no handle on that, very sadly. So, but this I found to be incredibly, incredibly interesting, scary, but albeit, I don't know, hopeful for sure. When we talked yesterday, of course, Michael is not thrilled,
having worn a trach tube for 2 years when he was 13 to 15. It has lots of scars that are invisible. And Dr. Sarji, who is a very, very kind, lovely man. I mean, I just, he looks at us and says, what do you think? And we really sit and talk. And he closes the door and gives us his undivided attention in a clinic arena that is just nonstop. And you got to respect all that as well. And he said, here's really what's going to happen, Mr. Brewer. I understand that you don't want a trach tube. He said, but you are going, he said, the way you've been trying to breathe for the last year and a half, maybe 2 years, he said, you are going to be so thrilled and feel so good being able to get a full breath, you're not even going to think about the tube. You're just going to be grateful it's there. And I looked at Mike, and he looked at me, and he goes, yeah, I guess you're right. So that in itself, I thought, was beautiful. And I felt very pleased that he was insightful enough to know that Mike needed to hear that. So it looks like surgery will probably take place sometime next week.
Wow. But you guys still don't know which surgery at this point. You're still kind of coming to terms with that.
Yeah. And to be honest with you, I got the impression that once they get inside there, that could change.
That could change also.
They're amazing, and you can see so much and all that kind of stuff, but it's like everything else. Like he said to me, he said, when I get in there, I never know what I'm going to find. It's just like the first one that they did last August. They thought they were going to repair it for good last August, but when they got in there and saw all the other stuff that was going on in poor Mike's neck, they had the cervical spine that was ready to break. His neck was almost broken. And they put a plate in there. Now he's got the mobility that he needs to be able to withstand that kind of surgery and be able to have his head and his neck stationary for some healing time and stuff like that.
Right.
So we've used up a half hour talking about these things. What did you want to talk about, honey?
Well, the only thing I had considered was actually inspired because I had a visit with my father and stepmother last night. And, I had talked on the show a couple of times about how, my father did everything, through traditional medicine, and so had Marlena. They both had severe health issues their whole lives. And I tried to inform them over a decade ago, 15 years ago, some of the things I was finding out, how I healed my shoulder and things like that. And at that time, they weren't ready. And this is one of the things we've talked about on the show about it really has to do with your attitude and your receptivity towards something that's non-traditional or considered non-traditional, okay? Because now my dad's in his late 70s, Marlena's in her late 60s, and now the two of them are open to alternatives because a lot of the medical solutions they tried didn't give them the results that they had expected. So they went completely the traditional medical route, and they weren't pleased with their results. Now, some people aren't pleased with their results, but they're not open enough to realize that there are alternatives. They just keep following what the doctor says. I guess because they knew in the background there I had done things more holistically and so had my sister and some of our other family members, they finally opened up their receptivity to start researching other things. Not so much my father, but Marlena, in the last year and a half, has started reading every book she could get her hands on about holistic healing. She's checked into it. She's changed her diet. She's not vegetarian, but she's moved off of, red meat, and she's more conscious about not eating things that have preservatives in them. She's, now reading labels and not eating things that have MSG. And she's gone from being closed-minded about hearing about nutrition and health to now being voracious about hearing anything and everything she can about nutrition. We had dinner last night, and Nina and I were talking about certain supplements that help with anti-inflammatory benefits and things like that. And here she carries around a pad and pen. She pops out her pad and her pen, and she's like, well, give me those names again. And So she's going to go home and research everything we told her. And the point I'm making is that it's never too late. I don't care if you're 60, 70, 80, whatever. I don't care how many health issues you've had, because my dad and Marlena have had some pretty horrendous health issues over the last decade that they've dealt with. And now that they're kind of marrying up some holistic remedies with this, here they are in their late 60s and 70s and starting to turn the tide a little bit. But it's because of their attitude and their willingness to look into something. And again, like, not so much my dad. Marlena is the one that's really spearheading this, but my dad sitting there and allowing her to replace some of his prescription drugs with supplementation. But she's doing it in a very responsible way. She's not just telling him, stop taking that drug. She's researching and helping him to taper off and try something else. So he's still taking some prescriptions. But as they make these changes, they're noticing my dad's starting to feel better. Here, she's starting to feel better. She's noticing a higher integrity to her healing. They're not complaining as much. You know, they're noticing a higher integrity. So it's important for people to shift their attitude towards what can heal their bodies and at least be receptive. It doesn't mean you have to take advantage of this. It doesn't mean you have to stop taking all your prescription drugs and just do everything nutritionally or holistically or start seeing a chiropractor or an acupuncturist. But the recommendation is to look into other avenues that are not pharmaceutical-based. Or at very least, look at things that will help to naturally counter the side effects of pharmaceutical drugs. If you really believe that you need those pharmaceutical drugs, if you believe you're getting some benefit but you're suffering some side effects, you have two choices. Either stop taking the medication and look for something holistic, or take something dietarily or holistically that will help the body to naturally deal with the symptoms you're getting as a side effect of that particular prescription drug. And there's so many different ways of doing that. And there's so many different ways. I mean, we talked about we're on the information highway now. You know, you can Google, you know, what are natural remedies for this side effect? What are natural remedies? And you'll get all these Google hits. It's amazing because there's so many people out there who have already gone on the journey that you're about to take if you decide to start looking into that realm.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think the best thing anybody can do for themselves is to have an open mind, and that's in every arena. That's certainly in your health arena, because there are so many choices out there, and everything else. Open minds are that's the biggest benefit you can give to yourself, is to leave your mind open so that you're always
aware. Well, Marlena said to me last night that I thought was very interesting. She had made a comment, and this was something that I had actually said to her 15 years ago, and now she's throwing it out there because she's enlightened and accepted. And what she said is, she said, you know, she said, once you take that shot, because she's supposed to be having a cortisone shot in her shoulder, she's got bone spurs in her right shoulder. She said, you know, she said, I'm really concerned about it because I don't like what I'm reading about cortisone. She says, and I know once you take that shot or get that surgery, she said, you can't undo the other damage done to the body in an effort to heal that area. And I thought that was very enlightened to make that comment, because that's something we talk about, you know. And she says, I wish I had another option, but she said, the doctors told me that you can't get rid of bone spurs in the body. And she says, I have no choice. So I told her last night, I said, well, actually, that's not true. I said, I had 8 bone spurs in my left shoulder. And I explained to her the whole protocol I did with the castor oil packs and taking the vegetarian glucosamine and MSM and the bromelain and all that. So I gave her my whole protocol. I said, look, I said, if you're really that concerned, I said, cancel the appointment for the shot next week. I said, try this protocol for 2 months. If it doesn't work, you can always go and reschedule the shot. It's always an option there. But I said, what you said is absolutely true. Once you get that injection, the cortisone, all right, goes in and can harm some internal organs. It affects the liver. It affects the pancreas. I said it causes other issues in the body that you may not be dealing with now. So it takes away the pain in the shoulder only temporarily. It's not healing the shoulder. It's strictly for pain relief. All right. I said, but it's messing with other areas of the body. And she says, I know. She says, I've spoken to other people. So now she doesn't want the shot, but she thought she had no choice and she's in a lot of pain. So I told her, I said, try this. I said, when I did it, I got relief within 2 weeks. I said, so really within a very short amount of time, you're going to be able to see whether or not you're getting any results. In the meantime, she's not making herself any worse by waiting a couple of weeks to get the shot. And if she tries the protocol I gave her, the natural protocol, she may find that she doesn't need the shot anymore. If she still does, if in, you know, a couple months down the road she's still in this much pain, the shot's always there as an option. But what she felt excited about is that she has time. She knows it's not dire. She knows that she can go ahead and try this natural approach and at least try to assist her body in healing and sidestep the shot. Sometimes you can't sidestep a surgery. Sometimes it's like what was happening with Michael is a perfect example. You know, I've had 3 surgeries in my life. 2 of them I couldn't have sidestepped. They were emergency surgeries, and there was no way of sidestepping them. The 3rd surgery I had, which was the last one I had, was not emergency surgery, and it turned out to be a colossal failure. If anything, it created more issues for me because the doctor made a mistake in the surgery and actually injured my lower back, injured part of my spine. So I understand that sometimes you can't sidestep a surgery. It's the only way to correct this issue in your body. But whenever you can, you should really, really, really do the research, see if there's any other alternatives, because like Marlena said last night, which I was very happy to hear, once you've taken that shot, like some sort of steroid, once you've done that surgery, you can't undo the effects it did to the body. But you can help your body to regenerate by then looking into nutritional and like energy healing, H-wave, things like that that are less invasive and can help the body to heal somewhat from the effects of these things.
Well, you know, on that note, when you talk about having an open mind, and I'm going to play the devil's advocate again here a little bit, because one of the other things that they gave to Michael after he had the surgery a year ago this coming August, when they repaired the narrowing of the cervical spine and put a plate there, they gave him it looks like an old-fashioned harness kind of a thing that hangs around his neck. And on the front of it, which comes down right in front of his chest, is a little box, and it's electromagnetic. And the doctors wanted him to wear it, which is something that's been being done in institutes all over the world, not just the ones that Shelley and I, the one that Shelley and I worked in, but a lot of them understand electromagnetics and the healing ability of using electromagnetics. Now, this little box, when Mike puts it around his neck, he wears it up to 4 hours a day. And what it does is it increases the flow and helps the connectivity of what's healing. So I really believe, along with what it's doing for his cervical spine, it's helping a lot of other stuff. But this, 10 years ago, if you'd have said to a doctor, I'm going to use electromagnetics, they'd have just told you, well, don't come back and see me until you understand that you can't spend all your time with all that frivolous crap. You need to come in here and have some
fun. That's absolutely true.
That's no longer true. So it is, we are getting, I believe, in my heart, we're getting to a point in time when, as I said before, open minds are taking precedence, and people are realizing that there's, what will be perfect is when we can work together. That's what will be perfect, and I do believe that time is coming. Again, Big Spike, who has just gone through numerous radiation chemotherapies, is receiving shots to increase his white blood cell count, help the replacement of his white blood cells. 10 years ago, nobody even knew that that was going to be important, nor did they care about it.
Right,
so things
right.
are looking up. I believe that. And
well,
I believe
you said that Michael's down to Miami, right?
Yes.
He's going down to the Miami hospital?
Yes, that's where the surgery will take place because that's where they have the most cutting-edge tools and things like that that are going to be beneficial for this whole surgery.
But what's the name of the hospital?
It's University of Miami Hospital.
University of Miami, okay, right. Because that's where the spa director of Hippocrates and I went on that convention. God, that was years ago. And what impressed me about that was that it's one of the few hospitals in South Florida that are really majorly embracing alternative medicine. When we were there, the room was packed, standing room only, and we stood at the back of the room. That's how packed it was. I mean, there were hundreds and hundreds of people in there. There were doctors and interns. You know, it was meant for the staff and for the people that were the vendors that were invited to be at this at this particular presentation. You know, we all had booths on the outside, and what they did is they invited alternative medicine or alternative holistic centers to come there and explain to the doctors and interns what their healing program was all about, because they were advocating marrying Western medicine and alternative medicine. And one of the things that the administrator said, who made this about 20-minute speech, is he said, over my tenure here, he says, I have seen that whenever we use just Western medicine, we're not getting the full desired results that we want to see in the healing of our patients. He said, and 10 years ago, he said, I would never have imagined that I'm going to make the comment that I'm going to make right now. But he says, I have seen over and over and over again, he said, that my patients who do what I advise them to do and then go and get acupuncture or go and change their diet, or, and he mentioned a bunch of things, he said, are healing at a dramatically higher level. They're healing more completely. They're healing faster. And he said, I had no choice but to say, okay, there's something to this. It's not hocus pocus. He says, it's not quackery. He said, there is something to this. He said, it's not how we're trained, though. And he says, and I think we're doing a disservice to our colleagues, he said, by not exposing them to this and changing the medical industry as a whole, he said, attitude towards alternative medicine. He said, because there's a lot out there that's legitimate and that really does aid the person in healing more completely. So he says, that's our vision for the future. He said, we're starting that here in Miami. And he said, we want to make ourselves as an example for the rest of the country. This is the announcement he made. He said, there's only a few hospitals now that are actually going this route. But he said, we believe this is the wave of the future and that the true healing centers are going to be the healing centers that take the best of both worlds, both Western medicine and alternative medicine, and start utilizing them in concert with each other. And it was a very, very powerful speech he made. And the thing that impressed me was that he said that as close as 10 years ago, if somebody had told him he'd be making a speech like that, he would have told them they were crazy, because he was so entrenched in Western medicine, in pharmaceutical drugs, in surgeries, he thought there were no other options. He thought that all alternative medicine was quackery, and it took him a decade to realize that that simply just wasn't the case, and that there was really profound legitimacy in alternative medicine. And so I was very impressed with it. And the doctors and the interns and the nurses that came around our booth that day were extremely receptive to things that we told them about nutrition, about like H-wave and diapulse and these energetic vibrational therapies and things like that. and they were extremely open-minded. So you really are taking both Mike and Spike to the to probably one of the most innovative hospitals easily in Florida, but maybe even in the country.
Well, I've always, I mean, Mike's life was saved the first time in 1983 at Jackson Memorial, and I want to tell you, and I talked about this last week on the show when I complained about the behavior in doctors' offices and little things that could be done that would make a difference. They're being done there. They're being done there. Every floor you go to, there's a concierge. Every floor. I don't care if you walk in the east side of the building, the west side of the building, there's a concierge, several. And there is always somebody there to help you. And they don't just sit at their desk and say, wait a minute. They get up and they go find out what you need to know. I'm blown away by the handling of everything there. And I was many, many years ago. And, of course, when little Mike was there, I mean, the stem cell research, all the other cutting-edge things that they're doing, the beds that can decipher different languages, the beds that can keep your body temperature up, keep your body temperature down, all those kind of things, those are amazing things. And you can't do one without the other. And as soon as
right.
they get that, things will be much, much safer, number one, have much better results, number two, and we'll be in just a better place all the way around. So I look forward to that time. I hope I'm around long enough to see it really mesh together the way it needs to. But, you know, everybody has to have an open mind, not just a few of us. Everybody has to
and
have
I
their
think
mind.
You and I are going to see it in our lifetimes because, I mean, even we look at the commercials on TV and how they've changed. I'm not talking about pharmaceutical commercials. I'm talking about commercials of healing centers like cancer centers now. And they openly talk about the fact that, yeah, they offer chemo, they have state-of-the-art MRI equipment, things like that. And then in the next breath, they're saying that they also practice acupuncture and meditation and nutritional counseling and things like that. So there are centers now out there that are offering both worlds. Now they exist today. And they didn't 5 or 10 years ago. But now they do exist, and they're, it's not just one location. Like I'm using that one as an example because of their commercials, and I'm sure they're well-known. But the Cancer Centers of America, I think they're called, and they're all over the country. And what I like about their commercials is that, number one, they don't if somebody has cancer, they don't tell them, well, you have 6 months to live. I love the one commercial where the woman said, when I told the doctor there, that my oncologist told me I had 6 months to live, he told me there was no date stamped on the bottom of my foot. And I thought that was brilliant, you know, because they're taught, general oncologists are taught that if somebody has cancer, bam, they have this limited life expectancy. And yet we've seen hundreds of times that people that do nothing survive for years. So where is that time frame coming from? But the minute it's put out there to an individual, if they wrap their brain around it, they can actually bring that eventuality out to happen. So I just love the fact that in that one commercial she was talking about their attitude towards people who have cancer. It's all about hope. It's all about, yes, this is something you can heal from, and, yeah, we're going to be using chemo and radiation, and we've got all this test equipment, and we're fine-tuning, like you said, we're pinpointing the treatments more, but then we're going to support your body with better nutrition. We're going to support your body with meditation and acupuncture and counseling. And so they're dealing with the entire person. It is a holistic approach, even though there's some pharmaceuticals involved. It is a much more holistic approach than the old-fashioned oncology clinics of the past. And I really do see them as also the wave of the future, and it's already starting.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, that used to be, we've talked about this a million times, and I'm going to say it again, the most valuable gift you can give to anybody, no matter what you're talking about, if you're talking about their health, if you're talking about what's going on in their life, the issues that are plaguing them in their life, discord in a family, divorce, money issues, all the different things that we struggle with every day, the best gift you can give to anybody, and sometimes it's given in passing, is hope. Such a simple, simple thing. People would say to me, they'd come into the Institute and they would say, yeah, the doctor gave me this long. And I would say to them, how long have you been going to this doctor? Well, I never had cancer before, so I never went to him before, Rini. I said, so he really doesn't know you. Is that what you're telling me? Yeah, I guess he really doesn't know me. The reason we're listening to him is, and they look at me and they go, what do you mean? And I said, well, somebody who doesn't know anything about you, doesn't know about your courage, your stamina, your ability to overcome things, how dare they put a date on your life? And they'd look at me and say, good point. And I'd say, well, it's the only point, because they don't know anything about you. Not really. And that meant something to me, by the way. That means something to me. When they told me that Mike wasn't going to come out of the operating room when he was 13 years old, I said, you don't know Mike.
Mm-hmm.
You can't, maybe because you don't know anything about him.
Right, right. Yeah. So, and see, in my attitude towards, and again, it's very different today, so I want to make sure that I acknowledge, you know, what you said a few minutes ago. Chemotherapy is very different today, although I still wouldn't do it for myself. I understand that it is becoming more and more of a viable option as long as you marry it with some holistic approach. But the reason I had such a negative attitude towards chemo, and this was even before I was vegetarian, it was before I went through my healing experience, is because everybody that I knew that did chemo when I was younger, when I was in my 20s, didn't survive. They were told they had 6 months to a year to live. They did the chemo, and they passed away within 2 years of doing the chemo. And the only individual I knew who had cancer, who was also told she had 6 months to live, ended up living for 17 years because she didn't believe in chemo. She didn't do anything, though. She didn't even do anything naturally, and she ended up surviving for 17 years. So that made an impression on me. You know, because here I see the people that tried to do the medical approach, and they really didn't get any time, and the side effects from the chemo were quite severe. And then this other individual who chose to do nothing and lived almost 2 decades without any side effects, had some issues near the end, but never regretted not doing the chemo because she had actually seen family member and friends who did it, and that was the reason she decided not to. And here her family members and friends didn't survive, and she lived, like I said, almost 2 decades longer. So that's why I had the original attitude towards chemo that I did, and then it just got bolstered by the research I started doing.
Well, and I do think, and everything changes every day, you know, every single solitary day. There are nuances that come into the world of medicine, there are nuances that come into the world of natural remedies. And,
mm-hmm.
of course,
true.
Remedies were around way traditional medicine. I laugh, and we talk about some of the things my grandma did and some of the amusing, her way of getting rid of my swollen glands was cooking mustard seed on the stove, making it into a paste, lathering it
mm-hmm.
on my baby's diaper and wrapping it around my neck. And I tolerated it because I trusted her implicitly. But I also realized that it probably had some worth because the mustard, when it dried, would draw.
Uh-huh. Yep.
So
yep.
Believe in bloodletting. Greeks believe in doing that all the time, and I was told years ago that one of my older Greek friends saved her husband's life. The doctor said if she hadn't done what she did, he would have died of a heart attack because his blood pressure was so high. So, you know, there is what there is. We're out of time. I need to make an announcement. I've bitten off more than I can chew again. I'm moving this week. My stuff will not be set up in time for me to do the radio show the rest of the week. So we're signing off today, and I'll be back Monday. But Shelley will be in Germany. So I'll be on the show alone, so I'm inviting anybody who wants to call in and help me do the show. I would love it. So everybody go out there and have a great day. God bless, and I'll be back next Monday. Thanks, honey.
Thanks, Renee. Thanks, everyone. Have a wonderful week, and I'll speak to you soon.